25 minutes before 7, we present Steve Allen. He wrote it, he performs it, The Gravy Waltz.
Part of their culture. I'm even going to take the camera.
Well, how about the nightclub?
Sure, we can take in some dining and dancing. I hear that fellow that sings Tiny Bubbles has got a real nice spot here.
Taxi!
I've forgotten his name, though. Here's a cab.
Well, haven't you forgotten something else?
No, I don't think so. What?
Well, I thought we were getting married, honey.
Oh, yeah. Get in. Let's do that right now.
Yes, it does. With the number 26 song in the survey at 21 before 7, this is Neil Diamond.
Hot August night, and the leaves hanging down, and the grass on the ground smelling sweet. Move up the road to the outside of town, and the sound of that good gospel beat. Sweat, he walks in. places on the
Salvation Show at 18 minutes before 7 o'clock. This is Army Specialist Pat Sajak, busting the dawn on a Thursday morning. 10 minutes of AFA News and Sports coming up on the hour. Right now, we present Sergio Mendes, Brazil 66, their famous beat about the constant rain.
Thank you. friends in Radioland, it's time to pause in the morning strife. Time to be reminded that life can be truly beautiful if you weaken. Yes, it's time to meet Helen Trump, a woman who has gone through a lot. Three husbands and their bank accounts. You will remember that yesterday, Helen had talked with Upton Peter Dunkel, Inglewood's richest and most handsome Edsel dealer. Upton had told her of his desire to enter politics. That conversation has revived old thoughts, old ambitions. Helen could recall the days when she was determined to be this country's first woman president. But she had renounced that career when she discovered that the White House is one of those old houses with small closets. Why don't we join Helen now? Around the corner and up your street, we bring you another chapter in the return of Helen Trump. A chapter entitled, She Sent the Groceries Back, But She Kept the Delivery Men. Today we find Helen thinking about C. Dewey Dederwick, a man she loves because he is the intellectual type. He knows everything and suspects nothing. She recalls a time when he'd gone to Pasadena on New Year's Day. He got up to watch the parade. He had to, or he would have been run over by a float. And after the Rose Bowl game, he had taken her to a restaurant that served Chinese and Russian food. 1 hour later, they were hungry for power. Suddenly, Helen is aware that strong arms are stealing around her shoulders, that a man is speaking to her.
Oh, Helen. Helen, you lovely, lovely creature. Don't turn away from me. Let me look into your warm and wonderful face. Let me find understanding and forgiveness in your eyes. I can't blame you for hating me. But Helen, I was desperate. I tried to avoid the draft by having all of my teeth pulled. Then, I was rejected for flat feet.
And so, friends, we've come to the close of another chapter in the romance of Helen Trump. A chapter that has brought us this message. It is easy to tell wrong from right. The only difficulty is trying to guess which will be more fun. Be with us again tomorrow when this program, Helen Trump, A Lot of Woman, reminds us that a girl can be safe when she goes out at night if she will just carry a lighted lantern. Of course, it all depends on how fast she carries it.
From August of 1968, we present the 1910 Fruit Company. At 11 minutes before 7 o'clock, let's all count 1, 2, 3.
Every time I try to prove I love you, 1, 2, 3, red light, stop me. Baby, you ain't right, stop me. 1, 2, 3, red light, stop me. Every time I make a move to love you, 1, 2, 3, red light, stop me. Baby, every night, stop me. 1, 2, 3, red light.
AFEN Thinks News. 24 hours a day, AFEN newsmen compile and edit the news from at home and abroad. So whether you listen for 1 hour or 24, you know you hear all the news.
Clear water, as the song goes. But in Vietnam, I'm afraid there's not too much of that kind of water. But you can at least make the water you drink purified by following several simple steps. For a canteen of clear water, use two of those little black water purification pills. Four of the pills for a canteen full of muddy water. That's it. Just a few simple rules to follow, and the water is safe to drink.
Good morning. It's a Dawn Buster for a Thursday morning. This is Vic Dana. Didn't we?
This time we almost made the pieces fade. Didn't we, girl? This time we almost made some sense of it. Didn't we, girl? This time.
Nashville Brass, I Saw the Light, and that's going to do it for part number one of a Dawn Buzz. And this is Army Specialist Pat Sajak. 10 minutes of news and sports coming up. We'll see you at 7:10 with the second portion of this thing, okay? Take us to news time. We have the number 16 song, Diana Ross from the Supremes, Living in Shame.
Saigon, Channel 54 AM, 99.9 FM.
AFBN.
Wherever you go in Vietnam, you'll find a little orange pill waiting for you. Its whole name is the chloroquine primaquine phosphate malarial tablet. You probably know it as the pill. That little bit of scientific know-how is your insurance against malaria. So what's a little case of malaria? Nothing if you don't mind a lifetime of cramps and chills. A very short lifetime.
Headlining this hour's news, the first new prayer sessions end in California mudslides take 11 lives. Good morning. I'm Army Specialist Jerry W. Gears.
AFBN News on the Hour, compiled from major American networks, wire services, and military sources. Now, complete details.
The news in Paris, the first formal session, the peace talks is over, and correspondent Bill Buchel is there.
As the first session of the substantive peace talks here in Paris broke up after 6.5 hours of negotiation, all the four participants in the talks seemed content, at least, with what had happened inside the old Hotel Majestic. If the length of meetings means anything, and usually it's considered that it does mean something, then the meeting today was probably a qualified success. Henry Cabot Lodge told us that he asked the North Vietnamese and the NLF that the PMZ, the demilitarized zone between North and South Vietnam, be reestablished. There was no reaction to that suggestion inside the meeting, but afterwards the North Vietnamese spokesman told us that North Vietnam already has rejected this idea because they think it's a smokescreen for American aggression. This does not mean, of course, that they will reject it as the talks go on.
And Ambassador Lodge also said he was ready to work out a plan whereby all foreign troops could be withdrawn from Vietnam. There was a lot of discussion on the shape of the bargaining table in Paris in the beginning, but not too much was ever said about the hall itself when the talks are held. Correspondent Bernard Redmond has that story.
It's the full dress opening of the Paris Conference on Vietnam. I'm speaking from the Grand Ballroom of the International Conference Center, the old Hotel Majestic, on the Avenue Kléber near the Arch of Triumph. This 60-year-old, six-story building was once Nazi military headquarters and then U.S. military headquarters. UNESCO used it, then the French Foreign Ministry took it over for conferences. By a curious coincidence, the first conference held here was on Franco-Vietnamese affairs in 1946. Outside are chestnut trees along the sedate avenue of business and residential buildings. This ballroom is about the size of a tennis court. The decoration is rather gold or gray walls with inset marble medallions, three glittering crystal chandeliers, and on opposite walls, two Gobelin tapestries representing Diana the Huntress with doves at the top. And I can see in the corners of the ceiling glowering hawks or American bald eagles. This is Bernard Redmond at the Vietnam Conference in Paris.
No relief is in sight in Southern California, where mudslides and floods have taken 11 lives and have done at least $5 billion in damages. The weatherman forecasts rain continuing through tomorrow. The victims were buried alive with rivers of mud rolled down from foothills already soaked by more than 1 week of rain. Police report hundreds of houses have been destroyed or badly damaged. 26 railroad cars carrying butane fuel derailed today at Laurel, Mississippi. 16 of them blew up in a series of explosions that made a shambles of a 10-block area. At least 39 persons were injured and 30 homes destroyed in the explosions and fires. One 12-year-old girl is reported missing. It was the third such derailment in as many weeks involving the same Southern Railway train, number 154. Federal investigators are looking into that series of derailments. Secret testimony went on at the Naval Court of Inquiry about the loss of the Pueblo today. Skipper Lloyd Booker talked about the intelligence ship's mission and operation. Two of their witnesses also testified. All their testimony was marked classified and not released. Other Navy officers are expected to testify about the decision not to send air aid to the Pueblo, but it was surrounded by North Korean ships. In Santa Barbara, California, experts from the United States and Japan are stunning policy toward Red China. ABC correspondent Bill Brannigan is at the conference, and Brannigan says
there seems to be a new wave of movement toward trying to establish some sort of normal relations with Beijing rather than the present isolated status of relations that Washington and Beijing maintain.
And that from correspondent Bill Brannigan in Santa Barbara, California. The chief prosecutor in the trial at Clay Shaw, New Orleans, dropped a strong hint today. It was that he'll ask the jury to believe that the assassin of President Kennedy was not Lee Harvey Oswald. Assistant District Attorney James Alcock did the hinting while questioning a prospective juror. After 5 days, only 8 men have been picked to hear the state's conspiracy case against Shaw. Today's session was held in hopes of completing the jury, but no new names were added to the jury rolls. But that's latest news for the hour, compiled from major American networks, wire services, and military sources. I'm Army Specialist Gary W. Gears for AFBN Radio News in Saigon.
AFBN Radio News, on the air 24 hours a day to keep you totally informed.
Time of the automatic tone, 0700.
Good morning, I'm Marine Corporal Rick Fredrickson with 5 minutes of news, compiled from commercial and military news agencies. The word is no again from Israel's Prime Minister Golda Meir to any peace formula from the Big Four powers. At Hebrew University in Jerusalem, Mrs. Meir said, Prime Minister Muri
repeated that the ones to decide on the peace settlement in the Middle East are Israel and the Arab states. Former President Eisenhower's condition remains critical. Doctors at Walter Reed Army Hospital Center say evidences of congestive heart failure persist despite the fact that all the appropriated therapeutic measures are being utilized. But they say the 78-year-old general remains conscious and lucid and sleeps well at night. They refuse to say if he is near death. Nothing of his inherent stamina is recovering from major illness at the past. As predicted, President Nixon has asked Congress to extend the 10% income tax surcharge for another year. He says the surcharge is needed to put brakes on the economy and help the government pay its bills. Mr. Nixon also promised that Congress would be getting a package of tax reform recommendations from the Treasury Department sometime next month. Democratic leaders on both sides of Capitol Hill say Congress will approve a one-year extension of the 10% surtax. House Speaker John McCormick put it this way, with President Nixon recommending it, my opinion is that it will pass. Senator Leader Mike Mansfield said he's sorry the extension is necessary, but he adds that there's probably no other way. Senator Stuart Symington is skeptical of the Safeguard missile system's value as a deterrent against the threat of a Soviet missile attack. At a Senate hearing this morning, Symington questioned Deputy Chief Secretary David Packard.
You would be the first to agree that if the Soviets decided the target was important enough to saturate it, whether it was Washington or Baltimore or Kansas City or St. Louis, that the city goes regardless of this AVF. Would you not? Thank you, sir.
Senator Symington of Missouri contends that the missile defenses currently deployed in the U.S. are sufficient to cope with any Soviet missile threat and that the Safeguard missile system is not necessary. The 14th U.S. plane to be hijacked to Cuba this year has landed in Dallas en route to its original destination in California. A Delta Airlines jet carrying 114 persons was forced to fly to Havana Airport yesterday and flew to Miami last night to refuel. In Los Angeles, the prosecution has opened its key examination of the key defense psychiatrist at Sirhan Sirhan's trial on the charge of murdering Senator Robert Kennedy. Correspondent John Davenport has the story.
Dr. Bernard Diamond believes Sirhan was in a trance when he shot Kennedy, that Sirhan is mentally sick. Prosecutor David Fitz tried to force Diamond to admit that tales of Sirhan's childhood traumatic experiences were exaggerated by him and his family to save him from the gas chamber. Several times I saw Sirhan become angry when Fitz questioned Diamond closely about Sirhan's tendency to lie. Sirhan was still angry when court recessed at noon. The defense could rest its case this week. John Davenport at the Sirhan trial, Los Angeles.
Vice President Agnew last night talked about the problems of the cities. In Washington, Mr. Agnew said President Nixon's new Urban Affairs Council is an important change from the past.
Well, I think it's a very important departure that the administration is making in this respect. As you know, the Urban Affairs Council is not intended to be an operational agency, but intended to be more of a think tank or policy developing kind of enterprise.
Vice President Agnew said private enterprise will have to help the cities with their problems. I'm Marine Corporal Rick Fredrickson, and that's news compiled from commercial and military news agencies on March 27, 1969. Sports is next with Air Force Sergeant Ray Williams.
Driving a vehicle can sometimes be compared to falling off a log. You get so used to it, it becomes natural. Cruising down the road as your mind wanders to thoughts of home, your wife or girl at home. Usually a thought not actually on...